If you and your buddy combined your VA loan eligibility, you'd be eligible for up to $1.5 million in VA loan. It's got to be a primary residence. You could take residence up in the guest house. You'd each have your own bedroom and private bathroom. You'd be roommates on that. The basketball court is yours. The pool is yours. There's a four-car garage. Use it or not. And then you could rent out this six-bedroom house. And if you don't know, out in the Outer Banks, six-bed ocean view houses on Airbnb generate about $150,000 to $200,000 a year in rental income. Welcome to Service and Wealth, the podcast dedicated to helping military personnel master their finances and achieve financial freedom. Our mission is to guide you through the ins and outs of planning, saving, and investing, and most importantly, how to balance savings so you can enjoy life now and retire with confidence. Welcome back, he says. Welcome back. Where'd you go? I'm surprised you didn't just go right into this episode after listening to the last one, right? Like, because, I mean, well, I don't know. What speed do you listen to your podcasts? I've always kind of preferred, like, in the 1.7 to 2.1x speed. And, you know, well, I don't know. It just, we tend to think and listen a lot faster than we can talk. So, just seems normal, like, I have no idea what my pace is compared to like other podcasts, like, you know, whether it's, you know, like a motivational, meditational podcast, which should be slow, but I still listen to like, you know, 1.5x. I'm like, let's get on to the point. Like, come on, we're supposed to relax here. Like, hurry up and tell me, you know, or like, you know, real estate or finance, you know, again, I'm not at all affiliated with Bigger Pockets, but they definitely are. Probably the cornerstone of our plan and everything that where we got started and the knowledge base and a big chunk of that sort of like proverbial 500 hours of real estate education that you need to really, you know, get into the game and not totally fall on your face, or at least become really savvy and fluent in real estate. 500 is kind of like the benchmark. You don't have to wait to get that far. But on the flip side, like if you're listening to a podcast a day and it's an hour a day of podcasting, you know, that's 5 hours a week. So then read a book a week, spend like 10 hours reading a book. Okay, now you're 8 or 9 months. You could pack in 500 hours worth of education on finance and real estate and feel really confident in yourself. You know, if you took a course or you had a coach or an advisor, and you know, that would speed things up further. But anyway, you know, for me, I'm like, well, I would try to pack in as much as possible, right? So if I had a, you know, listen at 2x on a podcast and I had a 45 minute commute in the morning and 45 minute commute in the evening, and that's an hour and a half that I can listen to podcasts at 2x, that's actually 3 hours a day of, you know, investment and finance and real estate podcasting or audiobooks that I can consume, you know. And when you're going at that rate, you know, you can pack in 500 hours worth of learning in less than 6 months, you know. So it's really for me, it's as much as like sort of like an impatience and get on with it. But you know, the funny thing is like you listen to that for so long and then like you inadvertently slow it down, or like you meet the person who you listen to and start talking to them and you're like, you're not the same person. Like, who is this? Like, it sounds so weird. Oh, this is what you normally sound like. You're not all sped up. Now, it makes me wonder, you know, about Alvin and the Chipmunks. You know, my daughter's going through this obsessive super fan phase, which she just cannot get enough Alvin and the Chipmunks. So, you know, we don't want her to have headphones on, right? Because one, we can't monitor what she's listening to, and like there's stuff that can get in there that's, even if you have like the explicit filters on, like it could still get in there. Of course, you know, she's clever enough that she can figure out her ways around things. And we, you know, but we want to know like what she's doing, even if we're not controlling it, even if we don't enjoy it. Like, it's just a way to like be a parent, right? Like, you can't just put headphones on your kid and walk away and leave them. You know, this is like their most, you know, important developmental age, for so many things, right? And so we got her like a little Bluetooth pill, and we're really paying the price right now because it's like Alvin and the Chipmunks, and not just Christmas music, right? Which I do not mind Alvin and the Chipmunks Christmas music, but we're talking like Alvin and the Chipmunks versions of like Destiny's Child and ABBA, and it's like, I didn't like that song in the first place. Help. Is there any way that we could like listen to the Chipmunks on like half X and suddenly they would sound good? I don't know. But here we are. We're back. This is our fifth installment now on real estate for the military, in which, and we're finally getting that point, right? Like, drum roll, please. I don't know if this is how they do it on like the pro podcast and if this will sound weird, but is that like a drum roll? I don't know. I don't have a drum. We're finally talking about the VA loan, right? So it finally probably feels actually specific to real estate in the military. But I think what we'll discover together today as we're talking through the features of the VA loan, the do's and don'ts of the VA loan, and some sort of like first time through tactics of things you should think about, tips and tricks and hacks with the VA loan that you either must do or should at least consider doing when you use it, it's going to start ringing bells from the last four installments of this real estate series. You're going to be like, oh, that's right. Yeah, I need to do the appraisal. That's part of the due diligence to make sure that I'm not overpaying and to make sure the bank is like getting, you know, the amount of money they're lending is appropriate for the value of the property in the market, that I'm not paying an extra $25,000 on a $300,000 house that's really worth $275,000. You know, just because they put in like, you know, like Alexa, or they like put hardwired like tablet mounts under the cabinets in the kitchen so that you can put your iPad on there and while you're watching a recipe on YouTube, right? Like people pay a lot of extra money for like some silly things, but that doesn't actually have the value. And so you're like, oh, that's, I remember now why the appraisal is important. So yeah, that's why we're talking about it. Or if we talk about the VA loan limits, right? You're like, yeah, I remember where that comes from. And it's across the board, right? So like, I understand now the VA, right? When we're talking about the team or like the closing timelines, things like that, your mortgage payment, mortgage insurance, we've already covered the fundamentals. So we can just talk more, you know, VA specific. And that means you're getting up to the level where you should be able to confidently go out and use it instead of being like, you know, Sergeant Major said VA loan is the way to go. He gave me the card to this guy who's his neighbor's best friend, who's a banker. Sure, I'll trust him. I'll just do whatever they say, right? Now, you're going to have this level of expertise coming together now that you should feel confident to go out and start taking action. And really, that's... you know, from, I was just thinking about this, like, just sort of random, like, sometimes I just think about things, like, when I'm walking around and they're stupid, they're like, there's no point to it, right? But I was just, you know, I was at the sink, like, washing some dishes from breakfast, and I was like, you know, I sure am glad that I just kind of took a leap of faith on, you know, that investment, or, like, you know, I bought a bunch of crypto long before I read, you know, the Nakamoto white paper and understood like what Bitcoin was actually about and, you know, understood the asset class. Like, I'm glad I took a little bit of risk, and like, if I had waited until I totally understood it, like, I would be buying Bitcoin at 100,000, right? And I'd be like, oh, it's expensive. Hopefully it doesn't go down too much, right? You know? And the same is true in real estate, right? Like, you're never going to get it perfect. I don't know if you'll ever get it perfect. You'll have perfect feeling, you know, deals. You'll have perfect feeling properties. You'll be things that you're like, nothing's gone wrong. This is amazing. Well, I mean, that could just all be luck, right? If your luck was different, you could have done everything. You could have studied 10,000 hours. You could have done 100 real estate deals with your buddies, around base. You could be like a salty old, Mustang, like an 03, but who was previously an E7 and has been in for like 26 years and super salty, and you're finally buying your first property and you waited that long because it took that many times of watching people do it and that many years and that many books and that many podcasts to finally feel confident in yourself, and then you could still punt it, right? So I was just thinking today about being confident in taking some risk and taking a bias for action. And, if you're in the military, that should just sound like, normal, right? Like that's like every day. That's what we believe in. That's what we do. And I think that when I look back at the VA loan, I'm able to say like, man, I sure am glad that the first time I used a VA loan, I just went and did it because I became a homeowner and I stopped being a renter, and that was a life-changing moment, right? From a financial life, but also just like grown-up life too, right? Like the stability and the reassurance that you have when you have property that's yours. No matter what happens, you've got something, you own it. You got a place to go if you need it. You got something to sell if you need it, it's a lot better than going paycheck to paycheck or, just having like 10,000 bucks in an emergency savings fund, right? Life-changing moment. And at the same time, I'm like, man, look at those mistakes I made. What was I thinking? And it didn't stop there. In fact, every single time, like sometimes the ink's not even dry on the paper, and you're like, oh, darn it. I should have thought of that, or I totally forgot that, or how did I miss that? Most recently it was, for example, this is like a weird situation. If you know what I'm talking about specifically with this situation, thanks for listening, because there's only like three of you who would know anything about this right now, but we're currently doing construction on a project, and we bought it, and we bought it sight unseen, and the only things we had the Google Street View and like Google Maps. So we had like this grainy, 5-year-old dreary drizzly day, drive by from a Google camera. And then we had on Zillow was like the even worse picture from like the previous time it sold, like 5 years before that. And we're like, sure, like let's roll the dice. Like, let's do it. And during our due diligence period, our inspection period, which, a cash purchase, like we said in episode 4 of the real estate series here, which for me was like 30 minutes ago, maybe for you as well, or maybe not, with the cash purchase, that was was it 1 week or 10 days? Yeah, it was a 10-day closing window from, maybe we'll talk about this in like episode 8, if we talk about like assignments and all that, but we had an inspection period and the inspector went out and, we talk about doing your due diligence and having an inspection, and there are inspections and then there are inspections, right? And like the last inspection that we got on a property before buying this one, the inspection report was like 37 pages and it included like 22 pages of photos with detailed descriptions. They're like, hey, there's a crack in the corner, in the bathroom, in the drywall. It is unclear if this is, structural at all. And we're like, okay, that's good. And they're like, in the garage, you can see this long longitudinal crack near to where the, the studs are. It looks like the pad is adequate thickness, that this crack is not structural. You don't have to worry about it. But they were like super detailed, right? And then this inspection report we got back had 11 pictures and was like 4 pages long. And was like, here are the following things we noticed. The roof has leaves on it. It was like the worst inspection ever. And then we got the property and we found out that there's in the back, there's this huge workshop that could be like a, you know, a garage, but it's set up as a huge workshop, and like a tree had fallen on it. So didn't plan on that, but that's like, you know, extra work. And somebody had a junked SUV on the property. And so then, you know, you get through this and you're like, okay, this is the investment, this is the project timeline, all that stuff. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, now I got to add, you know, rebuilding a, you know, a workshop, garage, the cost and the time. And, oh, now we've got to deal with this process of getting title to this junked vehicle so we can legally dispose of it and get it off the property, because we're never going to sell this property with a junked vehicle on it, right? So, you know, I was like, you didn't even ask your buddy who's there. You didn't even ask him to just like go over and meet the agent and like get an actual video walkthrough for you. You just took it, right? And like that probably you might not have bought it, right? if you knew about some of those other things. And so, like I said, they're the simple, stupid things. The best thing that we can do is we equip ourselves with the knowledge up front. And then every single time we go out and we do any sort of investing, you know, whether it's Bitcoin, whether it's, you know, Google stock, or whether it's a house, every time you do it, you treat it just like you do every op in the military. Where when you're done, you do a hot wash. You look back right away. Don't wait until 6 months later when something bites you in the butt. Like right away, you look, okay, what did I do? Was that good? Where did I forget to do? And you just come up with this, and every time you'll continue to learn. You don't have to spend the rest of your life listening to podcasts or reading books. Eventually, you'll be your own teacher, and you'll find mentors who help you out and point you in the right direction and, you know, notice things for you. So anyway, all that's to say is bias for action, and also don't just, you know, go crazy. And so the VA loan is that way too. And if you just take the whatever you hear around the barracks room or the, you know, at the NCO club or, you know, in the up in the company office, you're sitting around with like your lieutenant buddies at lunchtime or before the weekly staff meeting, or maybe you're at the gym or on the weekend, you're like out at the beach or playing frisbee golf. I don't know. I guess, do they have frisbee golf on PlayStation 5? That would be, maybe they do. I mean, Golden Tee used to be pretty popular I shouldn't say it, right? That'll just age me even more. But yeah, you know, when you're just sitting around and you're somebody in that crew is going to be living out in town in a house that they bought. I guarantee it. Maybe not when you're like an E3, maybe not quite yet, but by the time you're E4, guaranteed. Somebody's figured it out. Definitely in the officer side, and definitely the staff NCO and the NCO side. Guys have figured it out, and you're going to start listening to it. And if you just do whatever you hear, how do you think that's going to end up? You're going to miss things that you could have easily prepared for ahead of time by just doing a deep dive. And so that's what we're going to do today. So before we get started, once again, go on over to militarywealthcoach.com. There you can opt in to our email, weekly email, digest, newsletter, whatever you want to call it. You could sign up to be notified when we launch our course, which I haven't given up on entirely yet. You also can sign up for a free coaching session where we'll jump on Google Meets or WhatsApp or FaceTime and we'll just talk for like 45, 50 minutes about whatever questions or issues you have financially, and I will answer your questions. If you want me to like give you advice, I will tell you what I will do. I can share examples of what I've done, whatever it takes to help you, you know, kind of cover that gap from where you are to where you want to be, and to get you closer to your goals. You can also find links to our socials, and we appreciate it if you follow us on social media. You know, I think LinkedIn is a great place to DM me if you ever have any questions or comments, because we can also grow a great network on LinkedIn that will, you know, it'll be a little bit more serious and be professional, and it'll start not just, you know, if we're following each other on Instagram, that's great. You could see my daughter's pictures, but you know, through LinkedIn, I like that because eventually we'll form connections with like other investors, other, you know, business people, CEOs, stuff like that. And it can have a lot of, you know, sort of like follow-on spillover effects. And, you know, of course, If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star review and help us jump up in the search results. Same thing on Spotify. And then most importantly, and I forgot to double down on this last time, but the challenge is every week, find somebody who you've been talking to, somebody you know, family, friends, significant other, battle buddy. Share the podcast with them. Grow the community. Let's get it out there. And keep this thing going. And to our standard disclosure, hey, keeping it short and simple, I think that's much better. Do your own research, make your own decisions, and then own the consequences of those decisions, win or lose. All right, so here we are. Finally, we're down to it. We're talking about the VA loan. All right, and you've no doubt heard about it. It's everybody talks about it. I've referred to it as sort of like a tactical nuke or like a secret weapon that we have. And who's the we, right? This is, it's important, right? It's if you're a service member, like active duty, reserve, guardsman, if you're a veteran. And the VA loan program even extends out to surviving spouses, right? And so if you have a partner who's not in uniform, they should learn this stuff too. Send the podcast over to them. Send them a link. Have them like listen to it, right? Because I'm not saying that you're going to, you know, die in combat, die in the line of duty, but someday we're all going to disappear and go back into the earth. And if your partner outlives you by, you know, a few years or more, you know, they may want to downsize. They may, the house that, you know, you grow old in together, they may not want to be there around those memories. They may want to sell it and go buy a condo by the beach, you know, down in Galveston, Texas or something. Well, make sure they are equipped to go use a VA loan as a surviving spouse, right? Save them a few thousand bucks. You know, it'll be a final gift that you give to your loved one from beyond the grave. And, you know, that's in, if you sign up for our coaching and, you know, go through the iCash budgeting system that we teach, we break down your goal setting for that first step of iCash, right? Like the first step of budgeting is not what are your list your expenses. It's not how much money did you make this month. The first step in budgeting is to list your goals and your dreams. And then you figure out how much they're going to cost. And then you have a plan for how much to save. And now you look how you afford it, right? That's how you budget. And so we have a category within that, and we call it Beyond the Grave. Right. And it's something that's within your reach. You know, I don't want to be a pauper for my whole life, but I also want to give my daughter a great gift, which is a legacy. Right. I want her to have something, you know, spiritually, her character, her wisdom, her intelligence, but also financially. Right. And something that maybe she doesn't need it, but it could certainly help out the grandchildren, something like that, right? And I'm obviously talking way in the future, but that's part of it. And this can be, you know, this podcast of teaching your spouse how to use a VA loan in case you're not around anymore, that could be sort of part of your beyond the grave planning, right? Because it's not just financial, it's everything else, you know, the values and the wisdom within your family. So that's who's eligible. How do you know if you're eligible and how much you can get? Well, you got to get what's called a certificate of eligibility or a COE. And you just do that by going to va.gov. Just Google like VA loan COE. The link will pop right up at the top. Click on there, you put in your info, and then within maybe just minutes, you're going to get an email with a PDF with your COE. Now, if you're not eligible, I don't know what that looks like. I haven't had anybody try. So we could see an example. But in general, you're going to get this COE, and this is required. Well, first of all, you should just do it at the start, right? Like, don't start working with an agent and a lender saying, like, yeah, I'm going to do the VA loan. It's not a problem. Yeah, no, I save $20,000 to cover closing costs. I have no money for a down payment, so I'm using a VA loan. And then, like, find out you aren't eligible. Like, don't do that, right? Like, just go do it right now so you have it, and then save it on your phone. In like the cloud, screenshot it as a photo, favorite it, so it's like always available, so you always know. So you get the COE, and that tells you that you can use it. Well, what is it? What is the VA loan? Like, why are we talking about it all the time? What is a VA? Right? Hopefully, you know the VA is short for Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA. And what the VA loan is it's a program that the government put in place just about the same time they did the GI Bill, right? They wanted all of these guys getting out of the military to be able to do two things. Buy a house and get a higher education, to go out and get better paying jobs so they could afford the nicer house, so they could afford the lawn care, so they could afford the cars to park in the garage, so they could afford all the crap that you do to deck out your kitchens, right? It's all about increasing spending and increasing the economy. And the best way they figured they'd do it with real estate and buying a house is, instead of giving you like 20% down, what they said is, we'll give you what's called the VA guarantee. Now, if you recall from last time, we said that the standard terms of a conventional loan are 20% down. So on a $300,000 house, you would put $60,000 down, and then the bank would put $240,000 towards the purchase. And that the reason for that is that, other than like two freak times, from which we obviously quickly recovered, the housing market doesn't go down more than 20%. It can go down 5 or 10%, sure. And so if that $300,000 house goes down 10% in value because of a recession or something else, and now suddenly it's only worth $270,000, and it's sold, that's still more than what the bank is owed. So the bank will always get its money, especially if the home goes up in value, right? It will always get its money. And that's why you put 20% down. It's got nothing to do with anything other than that, and the bank's not wanting to be on the hook for the whole price of the house. Well, in order to help service members, whether you're in uniform and not getting paid a lot, or you're a veteran and you're out and maybe like not earning much anymore also, they couldn't just like agree to give you the cash for the down payment. So they said, we're going to give you this guarantee, and we're going to tell the bank that we are going to promise to pay them if this person, this service member, if they die or if they stop paying, if they disappear themselves off the face of the earth, we're going to give you 25% of that loan value. Which means up to, right? So if that means you can do like a 0% VA loan, the bank will pay $300,000 for your $300,000 house. If the market goes down 20% even, and now the house is only worth $240,000, well, the VA still said, we're going to cover up to 25%. So the VA is going to send a check over to the bank when the bank sells it for $240,000 for up to $75,000, right? So the bank is going to get its money back. And that's what the VA loan is. It's nothing more than that, the guarantee, right? And the reason why I say nothing more than that is because we also talked about how the VA has loan limits. And that, for example, there's a $766,550 VA loan limit. Well, that's the conforming loan limit that was set by Fannie and Freddie, and that all loans have to follow, right? So it doesn't, a conventional loan, you can get that much. VA loan, you can get that much because it's a conforming loan. It has to still be able to be bought and sold by Fannie and Freddie on the secondary market. That's where that loan limit comes from. The nuance with this VA guarantee is that it doesn't have to all come from one loan. And that's what's really cool. And that's our first big learning point with the VA loan, is you can use up to that amount of money. So let's say, for example, you're stationed in, you know, Fayetteville, North Carolina. You're a young Army lieutenant. You go out and you buy a $150,000 little ranch house, you know, like two bedroom, two bath. Like it's nice. It's a perfect starter house for either a single person or a small family, probably family without kids, maybe a baby for a few months, probably not much longer. and you use your VA loan. And then you get PCS to Texas. You don't have to sell that house, nor do you have to refinance to use the VA loan again. You can go down there to Texas, and maybe you find a great deal on like a $250,000, you know, brand new sub, you know, way out in the exurbs, but closer to base than the nearest city. So it's not really exurbs to you. It's actually really convenient. And you figure you're able to qualify again for a VA loan for $250,000. Well, when you get your COE from the VA this time, it's going to take the 766 and it's going to subtract the 150 you already use. And it's going to say, yes, you're eligible. And you have $600,000 in eligibility. You're like, great. Hand that over to the lender. They're like, sweet. We could totally approve you. You get your second VA loan and you buy your second house and you live in that. And you've got renters, you know, in two of the bedrooms, you got renters back in Fayetteville. Over the next 3 years, you document all of this rental income. It's now you're making as much in rental income as you are from base pay, and you're feeling really good about yourself. And now you PCS up to, you know, joint base in Washington or whatever. I don't want to make a mistake and look like an idiot, like a joint idiot. and you go up there, and now you're like, wow, I can afford a $400,000 house. Let's see if I can do that on the VA loan. So you go back, and the VA looks it up, and they're like, okay, still owes, you know, like $125 on this first one, and he owes $225 on this one. So he's got $350,000 in VA loans so far out there. $766 minus $350, $416,000 of VA eligibility remaining. So now you go buy another VA loan house. You've just bought three houses in about 5 years, maybe 6 years, using the VA loan. So potentially 0% down, right? Pennies on the dollar to buy these houses. Lower interest rates than conventional loans. Fixed terms. No mortgage insurance, right? So that's a second or third major, you know, learning point and advantage of the VA loan is because of that 25% guarantee, the banks don't have to charge you mortgage insurance, right? The VA is that gap coverage that they need to make sure they're whole. They don't have to go out to an insurance company and buy gap coverage in case they have to short sell that house. The VA does it for you, and it's technically for free. From a mortgage insurance standpoint, it's not really for free because you have to pay funding fees to the VA, and that's how they afford to do this. But we'll talk about that next. So, you know, essentially you're getting lower monthly payments through the lower interest rates. You're not paying mortgage interest. You can get 0% down, 5% down, 10% down, all thanks to that VA guarantee. And you can use up to that conforming loan limit in multiple different loans through the VA. Once you get to your limit and you're ready to go do it again, you can either sell a property or you can just go refinance it under a conventional loan. And in this case, this sort of like example that we're pulling out here, your house back in Texas and your house back in North Carolina, you've stabilized the rent for several years. You've grown equity. You can probably do a very easy refinance with a local lender for 80% loan to value, so they're happy, and not have to put any cash down on the table. Your payment will go up a little bit because you're going to have a slightly higher interest rate than you had before, even if, you know, nothing's changed, just because VA loans come with better interest rates. But now you've just like reset your VA loan credit, you know, and you've got $360,000 to use now the next time you PCS. And you can see how, you know, in this sort of like, we'll call this like a junior varsity level career real estate strategy, you can do this every 2 to 3 years and just march through like a 20-year career and walk away with like 6 to 8 properties and probably like a $2 to $3 million real estate portfolio, and just be, you know, like essentially just be retired, right? That plus a pension, plus disability, plus, you know, any other investments you might have, like you can kind of just be retired. But we're going to talk about in our next episode, episode 6, we'll talk about what takes it to the varsity level, which is like not just simply relying on the VA loan, but mixing all the different, you know, opportunities and options that you have. All right. So where are we? We've said so far that the VA loan, it's a conforming loan. So it's just like any other loan. The bank's got to, you know, they send the money out, like you never touch it. The reason why you can get away with not paying the 20% down and not paying mortgage insurance is because the VA guarantees 25% of the loan value to the bank. So they're happy. What else is it? All right. So the another follow-on effect of that 25% guarantee is there's less risk to the banks, right? And so that's what equates to a lower interest rate. So what I did is I just looked at the, you know, prevailing 30-year fixed conventional and 30-year fixed VA loan rates. And right now in early December, mid-December, for a $300,000 loan, you're going to get 5.99% with a VA loan compared to 6.6% with a conventional loan. And what does that translate into a monthly payment? That's $120 that you save per month by using the VA loan over a conventional from that lower interest rate. And it's all because of the VA guarantee to the bank. So it's a spillover. It's not like, you know, banks love VA loans or they love veterans and they're trying to give like a special like Applebee's. It's just because they're happier because of the, because of the guarantee. All right. But as I just alluded to, like not, there is no free lunch. Like not all good things are, you know, actually realistic. You pay a funding fee to, you know, pay your way into this. And if you recall, we had an example in the last episode in which we said that if you do less than 20% down to use a conventional loan, the banks are going to want to, they're going to charge you a funding fee themselves, right? An origination fee on that loan because they're taking on a little bit more risk. They're owning 90% of the house now in terms of value of the amount lent. So now if the house does go down, they could lose money. So they're going to take a little bit extra premium up front. And the VA is no different. And so they have what's called the VA funding fee. Now, again, this is a government program to help service members and veterans buy a house. So they don't want to, like, totally extort you from your money. And so they actually will give you a pretty good deal for your first-time VA loan use. If you do a zero down with your first-time VA loan, it's a 2.15% funding fee. So if you are buying a $300,000 house, 0% down, the 2.15% funding fee on that $300,000 loan is going to come out to $6,450. All right. So that's why I think a lot of, you know, if you're new to it and you just rush out there and try to like start buying a house and you get your COE, give it to your agent, send it over to the lender. They pre-qualify you. You go all the way through. You make an offer on a house. Maybe you even get like it accepted and you get under contract. You should ask for an initial closing disclosure during your due diligence period, right? The due diligence period is going to be until a certain day. And hopefully it's a long period. It should be at least a couple weeks. But you need to get, as soon as you can, an initial closing disclosure from the lender. And what that is the loan officer is going to look. They're going to type in the address. They're going to do an initial risk assessment. They're going to look at your credit score. They're going to make sure they're going to look at the payment breakdown, the interest rate that you're going to get, the payment breakdown. Add everything together, and then they're going to do all the fees and charges that you should expect to pay, including this funding fee, and they're going to send it over to you. And what you're going to find is you're going to find some first-time home buyers who maybe they don't know about the funding fee, and maybe they've never even thought about closing costs, right? Because closing costs, that's like, we talked about that previously in, you know, episodes like 1, 2, and 3, you know, that's inspection and the appraisal and the title research, the ownership and encumbrance, background checks, title insurance, interest in advance, taxes in advance, all that stuff. You got to plan about 4% of the loan cost in closing costs. So for this $300,000 VA loan that you're thinking that's 0% down, you know, you've got to plan. Just plan for 4% closing costs, about $12,000, and the 2.15% funding fee, which is $6,450. So that's $18,450 in order to buy that house. That's not zero down, right? It's definitely not $0 down. That's not the VA loan. The VA loan is 0% down payment, and you still have to put that cash in there. So the reason why I say it's so important to like find that out as early as you can in the process, in the event that you're not really initiated in this, is that you got to make sure, like, you might not have saved up enough cash to actually cover the fee and the closing costs. And then what happens? If you get past your due diligence period, you're going to lose your earnest money deposit. You know, if you agreed to put $3,000 earnest money down to hold this contract for you until you're ready to close with your loan, and then you realize later you do not have the $18,500 needed, you only saved $10,000 because you figured that would be good enough, and you got to walk away, you're going to lose $3,000. You'll never get it back, right? So there are risks, and you need to be aware of it. Now, what happens if this is not your first time VA loan? Well, that funding fee jumps to 3.3%. And in the case of our $300,000 house, that means it's not $6,450. It would jump all the way up to $9,900, right? So now you got to come up with $22,000 to buy this house. Now, as we mentioned at the end of our last episode, a lot of people, like, they think that mortgage insurance or PMI stinks. They think it's a ripoff. They're like, I'm throwing money away. But if you just take an example, you can figure out that if you can do 10% down on a conventional loan, save $75,000. In our example, even if you save $25,000 by doing 10% down instead of 20% down, you would have to pay that PMI. You would have to pay that for 10, 15, 20 years before you spent all the $25,000 that you saved on your down payment, right? And so you got to think about that, which is, do I want to spend $10,000 in a funding fee on a $300,000 house? Because I'm not going to get that $10,000 back. That is going to the VA. A down payment, I will get back, because a down payment goes into the value of the house. It goes into the equity, right? So think about it this way. I could pay $10,000 in a VA funding fee on a $300,000 house. In order to just break even and get my money back, I need to sell that house for $310,000. For the $300,000 for the purchase price and the $10,000 for the funding fee. Most cases, 2 or 3 years, like, you'll easily get that money. In a lot of places these days, like, you could do that in 1 year. So we're not stressing just yet. But if instead you were like, you know what, I'll put 5% down, which is $15,000 down. You put 5% down. That means you've got $15,000 in equity and you only have a $285,000 loan, right, on a $300,000 house. By putting 5% down, that VA funding fee goes all the way down to 1.5%. Instead of $9,900, it's only $4,500. So you're saving over $5,000 in the funding fee. Net on net, did you have to have more cash? Yeah, because you needed, you know, $12,000 closing costs plus $15,000 down payment plus $4,500 for the funding fee. Like, you needed to have a little over $30,000 to buy this house. But if you compare that to, you know, the $22,000 that you had to have to do zero down because of the higher fee, you were already most of the way there. But the difference now is, because you only owe $285,000, if you sell that house for $310,000, you're going to get back, you're going to pay off the bank, you're going to get the $15,000 down payment back, you're going to get the $4,500 funding fee back, and you're going to make $5,500 cash profit, right? So this is why the VA loan, well, we always think of it as a VA loan as the 0% down one. Putting 5 or 10% down to lower that funding fee can make a huge difference in your ability to break even or profit when you finally sell it. Now, that's all, like, you know, super simplified. In the real world, like, you're going to pay down the mortgage balance, the value is going to go up, you're going to hold it for longer, and eventually, like, you know, you might sell it for $350,000 while you still owe $250,000, and when all's said and done, like, you end up making, like, you know, $50,000 profit, right? So it's still, you know, it's still good, but, like, just because we live in the military and we are in the military and we live the military lifestyle and things change all the time, and sometimes they're big surprises, you know, like, you might feel totally comfortable if you're, you know, you're stationed in Texas and then you get moved to Louisiana or, you know, Alabama or Oklahoma, depending, you know, if you're Army, Air Force, whatever. And you're totally comfortable, like, keeping on to those other houses as rentals because you're in the same time zone, maybe just, you know, on a long weekend, if you had to, you can drive back and do some work on the property, fix it up. You know, you feel confident. But then, like, you wake up and you've got orders to Landstuhl in Germany or maybe over to, you know, Japan, someplace like that, right? You know, now you're on the other side of the world. Like, maybe that's too much risk and that's too much unknown for you. And you're like, I don't want to, like, be dealing with this. I'm just going to sell it, right? You may have planned to make a pretty penny if you held on to that house for 6, 8, 10 years, but if you just decide to up and sell it after 3 years, that could be a real problem, right? So now there's a couple other things to talk about here, and with I don't really know how to fit it in, right? But it goes with this actual purchasing and the decisions that you make about, should I do 0% or should I take an extra 3 to 6 months and save an extra $5,000 or $10,000 so I can put 5% down and lower my funding fee? And then you get your COE and you go over and you start working with the team. You're like, okay, I have this much cash. I can do this much down. I'm going to do, you know, you tell the lender, I'm going to do 5% down. So the funding fee should be 1.5%, not 3.3%. Here's my COE, like, I'm fully qualified, There's one other thing that you got to make sure you're doing at that moment, at the start of the start of the process. And that is to take advantage of the VA escape clause. I gave a scenario in which you put your earnest money down at $3,000 at contract signing to say, yes, I'm going to buy this house. You can trust me. It's earnest money. It means I'm being true and faithful. I'm going to follow through. And then you get through your due diligence, right? And you get to the end and you get your final closing disclosure and you're like, oh, wow, I had no idea I was going to have to pay these origination fees and these other title insurance fees. I need $25,000 to actually buy this house. I only say 15. I can't do it. I got to walk away. And now because you're past your due diligence, you forfeit that earnest money. You lose your $3,000, all right? Well, if you recall back when we were in our second of the episode of the real estate series and we were talking about the due diligence period and the nuance or the uniqueness of having to get a VA certified appraisal. You know, we talked about at that time how because the VA is doing this 25% guarantee, they have to be, you know, absolutely certain on the value of this property and that it has minimum, you know, living standards because it's the government and you're their employee and they owe it to you. And that if your team isn't ready, you know, isn't locked and loaded and everything's racked and stacked to get the VA appraisal, they already know that you're going to be calling them and you need them available within the next 10 days. You know, that's a risk, right? And that's like what can extend your timeline and your closing and make the VA loan less attractive to sellers because like, oh, I need 45 days to close instead of 35. Well, the other thing that you need to do, and the seller's never going to be looking for this, so don't even sweat it, is the VA escape clause. And there's, if you go to benefits.va.gov, on the landing page on the right side, you'll see the VA loan buyer's guide. And you should download that to your Google Drive, to the cloud, wherever you want to save it. And on there, on page 23, I'm just looking at it right now, they give you the specific language of the escape clause. Why? Well, because they're the government and they wrote the laws. And so all you have to do is you just give this to your loan officer and say, hey, this needs to go in the sales contract. Okay? And it needs to go in the, I think you also need to put it in the actual loan terms itself, but it has to go in the sales contract. So the lender and the agent work together and they put this specific language in there, and sales contracts are long. Like there's several pages. Most sellers, like they're just scanning to see when is the close of escrow, what's the earnest money deposit, what's the offer, what's the, you know, do all the numbers line up? They're not reading everything. But what this says is that if the VA appraisal comes back less than the contract price, you can cancel the contract and get your earnest money back. Why? Because you actually didn't cancel it. The VA is saying we're the ones who canceled it. We said this property wasn't worth it, and that's like not the buyer's fault. So you get your earnest money back, right? Like, that's awesome. Instead of having to stress out and be like, you know, the contract price was $300 and the VA appraisal says this is worth $285, I got to come up with an extra $15,000 cash just to like close the deal, or I'm going to lose my earnest money, right? Like, what's worse? Selling a car for $15,000, like cashing in your TSP for $15,000, losing $3,000, or just walking away and finding a new house, right? So you got to make sure you put the escape clause in there and it protects you. All right. So, you know, at this point, we're just going to close down talking about this VA loan here with a few other important things. You know, we talked about the most critical things, which is like the funding fee, the limits, the stackable, the ability to have multiple VA loans within your limit. We talked about the pros and cons of doing like a 5% down when you use a VA loan instead of 0% down, because you're going to build instant equity in your house. You're going to save a few thousand dollars on the funding fee, and that means you're going to make more profit when you do sell the house. You know, and despite all, you know, we also talked about how it's giving you, you're going to get a lower interest rate on the VA loan, and you're not going to pay mortgage insurance, even though you're doing less than 20% down. So there's, you know, it's pretty awesome. One of the things to say is that, you know, we talked about in a lot of times we're just like sort of blending together interchangeably, talking about like homeowner, real estate investor. Okay, the VA loan you can only use to buy a primary home. When you sign a loan, you know, loan paperwork with a bank, there's like a Truth in Lending Act, and then for you, there's like this disclosure where you sign an affidavit, like a testimony saying, I am going to live in this house. And that's the same with every loan, right? Like, you're supposed to have the intention to occupy as your primary residence to get the lower interest rates and the better terms and all that stuff. Why? Because government said so. It doesn't mean that you have to be the only one living there. You can sleep on the floor in the garage in, you know, under your like woolly bully if you want, and rent the house out to like your whole squad mates, right? You can rent out your primary home. Primary just means that's where you lay your head at night. Also, it doesn't have to be forever. So long as at the time of purchase, that is your plan, you are not committing mortgage fraud, right? If before you actually sign the contract, complete the, you know, close the deal and take the keys, you had this whole masterminded plan where you're like, you already knew you were deploying, like this was never going to be a place you're going to live. You already have renters identified and like the paperwork signed to move them in. That's mortgage fraud. But, you know, if you're coming up like 2 days short of closing and you get orders to deploy, you know, on the, you know, like the Arleigh Burke and go on a tour of the Pacific, right? Well, you had every intention and you're still okay. And besides, you know, you're protected with the Service Members Civil Relief Act, that when you get deployment orders or other military orders, like that has to be honored, right? You can't get in trouble just for following orders because you're in the military. So don't commit mortgage fraud. Don't ever do that. Have the intention of living there, but realize like you can move in roommates with you. You can, you know, get it by like a duplex or a triplex or a fourplex, and you can live in one and you can rent out the rest, right? So you can't do a multifamily. You can't buy more than a fourplex. You can't buy an apartment building and live in one apartment, but you can buy a fourplex and rent out the other three and live in one. You know, you can also, some of the other kind of loans that you can do is you can get a construction loan, which is really cool. Construction loans are when you normally, like, the bank wants their money to be backed up by a house that's already there. And so you normally don't get a nice, you know, loan term if you're going to go build your own house. Because what if you stop, right? Or what if something happens? There's nothing for the bank to sell to get their money back. You can get a VA construction loan, which means if you want to go down to Florida, where you know the average house in that neighborhood is $600,000, but you've got a family business and a buddy who will help you build a house, and it's going to cost you $300,000 and the land costs $50,000, you can get a $350,000 VA construction loan. Buy the lot, pay the builders, they'll build your house. Now you've got for $350,000, you've got a house worth $600,000 in a neighborhood filled with $600,000 houses, right? It's a great, great deal. You can get what's called an interest rate reduction refinance loan, IRRL VA loan, which allows you to refinance your VA loan at a lower interest rate, which is pretty awesome, right? Let's say you took out a VA loan right now at 5.9%. 3 years from now, for whatever reason, we don't know why, but interest rates are back down to where they were 3 years ago, and a VA loan is 2.25%. Well, go to your lender and say, I want an IRRL. What can you do for me? And they're like, wow, you're at 5.9%. We can refinance you out into a 2.25% loan. You know how much that would save you in monthly payments on a $300,000 loan? That would save you $650 a month. You might have to pay a couple thousand dollars for the refinancing and the closing, but imagine that. Save over $7,000 a year through an IRRL VA loan. There are also things like cash out refinance with the VA loan, right? Bet you didn't know that. Maybe if we go back to that Army officer who bought their first house in North Carolina for $150,000, it's appreciated now, you know, it's 8 years later, 10 years later, that house is now worth $250,000 and their loan balance is down to $100,000. They could do a cash out refi for a $200,000 loan, take $100,000 cash, tax-free, thanks to this VA refi loan, cash-out refi loan. There's special loans for if you're Native American ancestry and you want to buy, you know, back in the trust lands and the tribal lands where you have the right to buy and people who are not from your nation can buy. Well, the government wants to help you out. Like, they really want to help. It may not seem like it, and it may not feel like it, but at least over in the VA department, they want to help out. And it's called the Native American Direct Loan, and it'll get you better terms, lower interest rates to help build back on Native lands, right? Which, I mean, I guess you could argue it's all of America's Native land, but it's specific to the federal trust land, which I guess is another way of saying on the res. But the VA doesn't want to use that term. They say on federal trust land. There are VA jumbo loans, all right? And the VA jumbo loan is what we said, when it goes above the conforming loan limits. So for some reason, you know, like your wife's a surgeon, right? You married up, you're a military officer and your wife's a surgeon and makes three times as much money as you do. So you guys can qualify to buy like a $1.5 million house, you know, outside. Sometimes I like my brain goes faster than anything else, but now I'm curious to know what the VA loan limit is in Pensacola, Florida. So if you want to like retire in Pensacola, Florida, right? Because you're a naval officer, you flew whatever, and you want to buy like a $1.5 million coastal home, stick, you know, those one on, up on stilts, you know. And in Pensacola, the limit is $766,550, right? Well, now you need a jumbo loan, whether it's conventional or VA loan, but you can still get a jumbo VA loan. You combine your eligibility, your wife's exceptional salary that crushes yours, and you can go get a VA loan, which means that you're going to pay lower funding fees and get better interest rates than on a conventional jumbo loan. So once again, the VA advantage, it just extends outwards. And then finally, the last thing I want to talk about as far as VA loan types is you can combine and you don't have to be partners, right? And so, like, this is something I wish I knew about years ago. You know, and I have to give myself a break, right? And I've talked about it before on the podcast. Like, you know, when I was young, when I was a, you know, a lieutenant and a captain, the first, like, 10 years of my career in the Marine Corps, I had six figures in debt. You know, I didn't pay off my student loans until like two years ago now. Like 20 years of paying off college debt, right? Plus 20 years of like car and truck payments, like stupid. Well, I guess not. 15 years of car and truck payments because we became like consumer debt free several years ago. But anyway, but so like I have to give myself a break because back when I was a lieutenant and captain, my debt was so high I never would have qualified for a mortgage anyway. So like all that's moot. But if I hadn't been an idiot and I didn't have all that debt and I could have been buying houses, you can combine it with another VA eligible service member. So like my best friend from, you know, like the basic school and from being young second lieutenants together in the fleet, we could have gone to a bank and said, hey, look, we're going to buy this house. We're going to buy this triplex. You know, it's a triplex. So it's 3 2-bed, 1-bath units that are like end to end. And, you know, it's going to cost $800,000. Individually, we couldn't get a VA loan, but we could combine it. We could buy it together. We could use our combined eligibility and our combined salaries to qualify. Now, this is a case study that is going to go on this book that, you know, I've talked about the Ultimate Retirement Plan book, and it's written, but it's just not very readable, and it needs to be copy edited, and, like, the figures need to be, like, made look prettier, right? And I've moved on to writing the how-to guide to use a VA loan over 40 years. Like a 40-year, like a lifetime strategy for any service member, because you're still eligible to use it once you're out as a veteran, right? You don't have to retire. You just have to be a veteran. So you do four years and you're out, and you can still use a VA loan. So that means for the rest of your life, you can use a VA loan. But I did this, I did a bunch of cases that I made up, and then I like found real properties and I did real numbers and I ran all the numbers and I came up with it. And I did this one for like, wow, if I had been stationed in North Carolina as a second lieutenant and made this much in base pay and BAH, and I had a buddy who did the same, and I found this $1.4 million, like kind of like resort like property that was on the Outer Banks. It was like 45 minutes from Camp Lejeune and MCAS New River. So like this perfect little like jot out to the beach from where there's like, I don't know how many Marines are stationed there now between those two bases. But this property had like a 4-car garage. It had a 6-bed, 6-bath main house, 2 levels facing the beach. It had an outdoor pool. It had a gazebo. It had a basketball court. And it had this 2-bedroom, 2-bath like guest house, right? If you and your buddy combined your VA loan eligibility, you'd be eligible for up to $1.5 million in VA loan. It's got to be a primary residence. You could take residence up in the guest house. You'd each have your own bedroom and private bathroom. You'd be roommates on that. The basketball court is yours. The pool is yours. There's a 4-car garage. Use it or not. And then you could rent out this 6-bedroom house. And if you don't know, out in the Outer Banks, 6-bed ocean view houses on Airbnb generate about $150,000 to $200,000 a year in rental income. Can you imagine doing that? If you knew, and now that you do know, that you could combine eligibility with someone who's not your partner, not your spouse, just another person in uniform who's eligible for the VA loan, and you can go out and you can buy a property like that and start renting it out, that'll pay your mortgage, that'll pay your taxes. You would literally, you'd be set for life, right? Like that is, if you've ever played the Rich Dad Poor Dad board game, like that's what's called a big deal, you know, and gets you on the path to financial independence. So, so there's that. And that's sort of the last, nuance. And then the last thing that we'll say here before we check out again, I don't know what happens, like the magical amount of time is talk is like an hour. And it reminds me of being, you know, an instructor back at the Naval Academy, where you'd have like a 50-minute period. And no matter how hard you tried, no matter how much you planned, and even like I would even rehearse lectures in front of like, you know, on camera on my laptop and time myself, like I could write a 40-minute lecture, and when I got in the classroom, I needed an hour and 5 minutes, right? It's like, I don't know why. It's not just me, right? Because people ask questions and whatever. But anyway, so the VA loan, right? Like, I should have included this when we were talking about the funding fee. But here's this remarkable thing, is that for veterans with more than 10% disability rating, the funding fee is waived. It's waived, right? So we're going to talk about this. This is a little teaser for the next episode when we come back and we talk about like the strategy. It's going to be our sixth episode on real estate for the military. But one of the best uses of the VA loan is to make sure you've got your full entitlement, your full eligibility, that full $766,550 conforming loan limit, VA loan eligibility in your pocket when you retire. Or when, even if you, let's say you separate early and you go out and you do something else and you're working for like 15 or 20 years, whatever you do, once you get into that age where you're either maybe late 30s, early 40s, and you're retiring from the military, or you're like, you have young kids who are now like in elementary school and you're like identifying where you need to stabilize yourself for like the next 10 or 12 years to get them through the school system, the way that things work, and like, how, if that's your plan, right? Like maybe you just want to live in a van and drive up and down the coast of California. I don't know. But assuming that you're going to stabilize, to have that full eligibility and have your VA disability, right? Because now you can go out and you buy a $750,000, you know, 4-bedroom, 3-bath house, large enough for 2 teenage kids running around, plus a dog, plus you and your like semi-retired boredom and your partner and their semi-retired boredom, and use it as a 0% down, so nothing to purchase, and 0% funding fee. I mean, that'll save you $100,000. And what you can do then is, if that's your plan, that's sort of like the finish line or the midway point, the half marathon point of life, and you're looking at, I'm going to pull this weapon out and use it at that time, you can walk back through the steps. And all that cash that you would have had to save, you can use it to pick up more investments along the way. All right, and we're going to talk about that in more detail and like walk through it A to B, or A to Z, I guess, next time. And for now, we're just going to wrap it up. Thanks again for tuning in. Again, please, I just want to, again, challenge everybody who's listening to find one other person to share the podcast with. Encourage them to listen. And then if you enjoy it, give a 5-star review. If you don't enjoy it, don't just smash me, right? Like, DM me, email me at coach, the address is coach@military-wealth.com, and tell me where I can do better and give me a shot to like go back and fix what I did wrong before you totally skewer me. But the most important part is to grow this community, get the education out there and help everybody increase their financial IQ and so they can get on their own path to financial freedom. All right. Need to go drink some water. Time to hydrate, right? All right, thanks again for listening. Until next time, stay financially fit and mission ready.